How exciting is it that the gospel authors captured the humanity of the church? Think about back to when we had the Passion. We heard about Peter denying Jesus three times. Today we hear about Thomas, who has earned the nickname for the rest of eternity, I guess, Doubting Thomas. But I'll tell you, I grew up in Missouri, the Show Me State. I've reflected all week thinking, if I was there, I'd have been right with Thomas probably. Show me. Prove it. And did Jesus ever show him? Powerful. But why is it exciting? Because it should give us hope. These guys that did not score well on the test at the Passion and death of Jesus are the same guys who ran the race to the finish, giving their very lives as testimony to Jesus. The grace of God that they experienced after the resurrection, the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them at Pentecost, dramatically transformed their lives. If you and I have been baptized, we have received that grace of God just as they did. If we have been confirmed, we have received the power of the Holy Spirit just as the apostles did. My question to you, and what I have been asking myself all week, have our lives been transformed as dramatically as the lives of the apostles? If not, why not? Why do we sometimes choose to settle for mediocrity? I was thinking about the Sunday of Divine Mercy. So Pope John Paul II designated the second Sunday of Easter this weekend, back when he canonized Sister Faustina, a saint. He designated this Sunday as the Sunday of Divine Mercy. So since April of 2000, we have been celebrating Divine Mercy on this day. So a quarter of a century. Now the question that I would ask you, is this the only time we celebrate God's mercy at Mass? Is this one Sunday a year? I would hope you would answer immediately, no. We celebrate God's mercy every week. But have you given much thought to just how much we beg for God's mercy each week when we come to Mass? Think about it. The penitential rite. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. Or in our case tonight, I try to sing Kyrie eleison. Lord have mercy, pretty direct. But you notice it's in the penitential rite. Father Joe now for probably well over a year has been giving us the opportunity to have a long pause to call to mind our sins, because we cannot preach mercy and teach mercy unless we preach and teach repentance, conversion. And so when we have that long pause to call to mind our sins, are we truly thinking about those areas where we have fallen short in living up to the glory of God and seeking God's mercy? Or are we standing there thinking, okay, Father, you can start the confiteor any time now? Where is our mind? Because, my dear people, to experience the transforming love of God to the level that the apostles did, to be willing to give their lives, we have to be people of prayer. And the greatest prayer is the Mass. It starts here. But if we are just going through the motions, we continue in mediocrity. So during Advent and Lent, we do not pray the Gloria, but for the rest of the year, we do. So when we sing or say this beautiful hymn, there is a line in there, have mercy on us. The Eucharistic prayer is all about mercy. It is Jesus pouring himself out for us. The holy sacrifice of Mass is the one sacrifice of Calvary being made present to us. We are there at the foot of the cross. And in the Eucharistic prayer, Jesus gives himself to us in a very tangible way through the gift and the miracle of transubstantiation. He comes to us body, blood, soul, and divinity under the appearance of bread and wine. That gift is mercy. After the great Amen, we move into the Lord's Prayer. When we're praying the Our Father, we say, "Forgive us our trespasses." That's seeking God's mercy. We end it with, "Deliver us from evil." That's seeking God's mercy. The Lamb of God is very explicit. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Before approaching Holy Communion, we say, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed." If we are asking for our soul to be healed, we are seeking God's mercy. So after reflecting upon all of those ways that we ask for God's mercy at each and every Mass, how well are you praying those prayers? The Catechism says we should be at Mass participating with full, conscious, and active participation. Is that the way we're doing it? You see, the Mass is a powerful ritual. If you have been Catholic for any time at all, you know the signs, the symbols, the gestures, the postures, the words. And if you understand the meaning behind them, the ritual is powerful. But the danger of ritual, because we know it so well, can lull us into complacency. We can put it on autopilot and go through the Mass. If we happen to forget to stand up at the right time when everybody else stands up, we got a quick cue. But this isn't about being put on autopilot. If we want to experience a transforming love of God in our lives to the dramatic level that the apostles had, we are called to be people of prayer. We're called to live out the two great commandments. Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. The only hope we ever have of doing that well is if we cooperate with God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? We are people of prayer. That's what divine mercy asks us to be people of prayer, so that we can experience the fullness of God's divine mercy. And so tonight I want to close it out by putting into the context of the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, or faith, hope, and charity, if you prefer to use the word charity. Faith, hope, and love. Let's connect it to what we're doing here today. We don't have a divine mercy image in front of us right now, but if you're familiar with the divine mercy image, many times at the bottom it has the words written. Oh, there it is on the side over there. The words at the bottom: "Jesus, I trust in you." Ask for an increase of faith. Do you really trust in Jesus? Asking Jesus to pour out his mercy without having that trust, where does that get us? The virtue of hope. If you have been praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy during these 9 days novena, we have repeated the prayer 50 times each time. "For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world." Great prayer. For the virtue of hope, I would like you to focus your attention on the closing prayer that we repeat 3 times. "Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world." Why do I connect that with hope? because our holy God, who is omniscient and omnipotent, all-powerful, we can have hope because we can trust. He's conquered through his Son, Jesus Christ, even death itself. There has to be something in that that helps us to move beyond going through the motions. What a blessing. And finally, faith, hope, and love, the virtue of love. How do we live that out? What do you think the level of emotion was for Thomas when Jesus shows up in this locked room, stands before him, knowing what Thomas has said, and says, "Here, Thomas, check it out." Can you imagine what must have been going through his mind at that point? The guy that you saw arrested, beaten, hung on a cross, died, put in the tomb, he is now standing before you. Let Thomas's answer be the same answer that we have when we strive to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We pray simply with Thomas, "My Lord and my God."